So, tools, tools, tools. Be it software or hardware. As a designer, creator, be it commercial art, music production, even development tools, right? There's more and more, and they continue to come our way. And the question is, how do you cut through all the noise? How do you decide which tools to use and what's best for you? Well, my boy Trevor, he's back in another episode. That's right, back-to-back episodes with the T-Man. And we're going to talk about some of these tools, some of these things that, you know, we're finding to be pretty advantageous in what it is we're doing on the day-to-day. So, buckle up, friends. It's go time. Cue that up one more time.
Yeah, so... I was just saying that that's really great. Speaking of wanting and needing more time, like increasing our rates to perhaps get more time or finding... that because we've increased our rates, we have more time to do what we need and what we want to learn. I'm learning so many new tools this year, and it's crazy. I love it. There's several that are just fully iPad or mobile, and there's several that are, of course, desktop. And a lot have been in ways I think I'm making like a pretty safe bet on this could be relevant. Like, I'm not trying to always just be the Swiss Army knife, but I found a few that I think could be really fun to continue to develop and get good at. Rive is one of them, which is a fun little way of animating for websites and things that's a lot lighter and has far more like control and usability and complexity for interactivity. And that's been pretty cool.
Rive, like I jumped into it one day, did some practice stuff, saw that there's definitely potential here. I know I saw some things that made me think, oh, does it do 3D as well? But it's just 2D, right? I mean, and does it save, does it publish out to Lottie or just like true SVG animations? Is it you can do one or the other, or is it just one?
To my understanding, I'm still early on. I'm way fresh. Yeah. I'm as fresh as the year. But I think from what I can tell, as far as 3D, I don't know. I think people have been using more spline and stuff for 3D animation and doing it if you're gonna do similar. I think it's as similar as it gets, but maybe not with all the interactivity. Would be trying to do more with Spline, but I know that you can build games with that too, so I'd imagine it does. So, so if you're going to go more a 3D route, probably that. But Rive, as far as some of that,
And that's on my list to talk about with Spline because I've got
it's just incredible and complex and fun, and I love what people can do. And you get several boards doing different animations and you blend them or you have different click states and different. I mean, I think there's even so much more there that's not fully tapped of how well you can make, how deep you can go down the rabbit hole and how many levels down in a dreamscape you can go as far as, you know, making it fun and interesting and connect with things. And that's something I really want to do. Yeah, that's something I really want to do this year is do more so I can like maybe put an impact on certain microsites or something that has a little more interactivity. And how light.
Yeah,
they're so lightweight. It's incredible to get that amount of polished animation. It blows my mind.
Real time, it's interactive, it's ridiculous. Yeah, like I mentioned, I follow them on LinkedIn, and it's like multiple times a day they're posting another thing that a user has created with it, and it just blows my mind, the interactivity. And just how polished it is. And that was the one thing playing with it that I struggled with initially, because I started tinkering with it over a year ago. But then just the past couple of months, I went ahead and signed up for a paid version so that I would get access to the built-in materials. Was the main reason. And then I'm able to reverse engineer them. Oh, that's how they got that glass effect with these weird nodes, because it's not like a one-to-one knowledge of how Blender does it in cycles or something. They're using what do they call matte caps in a normal looking material to get it to look a certain way, but they add a blend on top of that, or it's strange. But yeah, so if you haven't done that, I'd recommend paying for a month of it just so you can kind of reverse engineer some of those materials.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm trying to get better at. Are you specifically doing as well the PBR materials, or?
Well, and that's just it. I've used PBR in other applications, but from what I am seeing, Spline doesn't do PBR. Yeah, they're using different approach. And so the things that you've learned in Adobe Substance for PBR or Blender or 7.4D or whatever doesn't translate. So it's like a weird combination. To get a nice glass, you got to put in this matte cap and then throw a Fresnel on top of it and another layer that adds color. So it's definitely a weird...
It's like throwing effects together versus throwing building it from the foundation up or something.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll have to look into Spline more as well. But
but what's your favorite thing about Rive?
I'm still too early to really tell, but beyond anything, just the fact that you can have all those fun art boards similar to say a Figma or something, and get those animations, have different buttons and click states, blend them together. I love that. I love being able to blend that stuff together right now. Some of those things are the things I'm learning at this stage, waiting to get better at it, of course. So we'll get there. The other thing is...
Have you used SV Gator before?
No.
SV Gator, it's like SVG Gator. So I remember seeing it a few years ago and jumped into it, and it's got a timeline and it feels kind of like After Effects, but it seemed kind of clunky. Why would I use this and not just After Effects? But recently I had a client who needed some web animations, and originally I kind of pitched it to him I'm going to do them in After Effects. And I was even thinking, if I had time, I might subcontract it to you or something, because you're the expert there. But I was like, yeah, we're going to do it in After Effects. We'll, export it to Lottie files. It's going to be, lightweight, and it'll be great. And they specifically wanted it to just be SVG, and they'd had bad experiences in the past trying to convert something from After Effects to SVG, and they didn't want to add the Lottie library and different things. So, they reminded me of SV Gator, and it, exports just true SVG file, and it's got everything you need. But so I've been using it for the past couple weeks, and I'm really liking it. Yeah, I'm surprised at how simple it is. It does what it needs to do, and spitting out files that are
awesome,
100K or whatever, and super lightweight, and you don't need to worry about extra Lottie file libraries and different things.
I love that. I'm all for that. I wrote it down, so I'm gonna check that out. I've been trying to do more with Calvary, which can also be pretty lightweight when it comes to some of those animation files with vectors and 2D and stuff. I love that you can like take also, I didn't know this to begin with, but you can take something like a Google Form and you can get the input from Google Forms and Google things like that. And so say you send it to a client or a company and they just put in their details or and submit like an image or something. And then you can have like a full Mogurt animation made out of a Google Form. And almost
it pulls from the Google Form.
You're gonna like initially set it up almost like a Mogurt, right? And you're gonna have a certain animation that you're kind of building in a certain style. But then you can just take, you could just 100,000, say like you have a company with 100 employees, or you're doing it for an event like a conference, or you know, you have a bunch of speakers that are coming on stage. All you have to do is essentially have the actual people submit in a Google Form the photo, the name, the title, and then you're done because it's just pulling, and then it's just click and paste, and then it's done, and it's animating each and every one of those Google Forms under your style. And the way that streamlines is just so nice. So
let's say there was a scenario where, you had someone initially fill that out from the company, 100 names, but then there happened to be, you know, 3 or 4 misspellings, and they go back in there. Do they just submit a new name and then it gets replaced? And
you can just relink it to essentially and then re-render and you're done. It's so nice. You just essentially use it as like a file directory and a link and a breadcrumb. And it's like, that's what's so nice about it, is it's pretty quick and easy, painless. I love it. I've been loving to do more. So I'm starting to learn more DaVinci Resolve because it's on the iPad, and I want to be able to edit on the iPad. So I've always done like Premiere Pro and stuff, and that's been fun and it's great, but I've also loved how fast like DaVinci Resolve can be, and that you can just have a free version of it.
I didn't realize it was on the iPad. Cool.
Get it. It's so worth it. You could essentially, once they allow better 3D animation on an iPad, where you can actually fully say like Blender ever makes an app with the iPad.
I think I could
essentially just work on an iPad for the rest of my life at that point. And I like being at a desktop, but I like the idea that I can move. So it's like I'm at my desktop and then immediately I can just jump on my, I have to leave. Going to say a doctor's visit or something, while I'm waiting in the waiting room, I'm still working, I'm still animating, I'm still getting stuff done, I'm editing, doing sound design, everything. And then waiting for the movie to start at a theater, going through the I've done that before on my phone.
They keep updating those iPads. I think the M3 version is supposed to come out soon. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Mine's getting old these days. I want to update at some point, but
a little older. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even have like any of the M chips or anything, but I have been enjoying it so much. I've been using Nomad a lot. I'm getting better at Nomad Sculpt. However, a new one came. So, I forget the artist here, but I was starting this, like learning and doing a thing with a dead fish. You probably can't. It's maybe if I hold it,
it's kind of washed out.
Anyways, there's a fish head happening,
and I'm spine coming down.
Working on it. Well, I've got a reference. I cropped out who the guy was from Instagram, but I liked the simple shapes. I thought, I can do this, and then finish and paint. I'll send it to you when I'm done. But besides Nomad Sculpt, there's Valence or Valence 3D? Valence? I want to say it's Valence.
And I bought it. Based on your recommendation, I haven't even opened it yet, but I bought it that same day, like,
yeah,
a week ago. So
I have been in it. It is fun. It's interesting. It's got some pretty good immediate like models and setups. I know it's so washed out, but
yeah.
But I love how it's the topology and the way you can just kind of work with certain polygons immediately and the meshes. It's pretty interesting. So you definitely feel like, versus like the Nomad Sculpt and some of these others, you feel like you're right, yeah, immediately, say like in Blender or Cinema 4D and yeah, the modeling, oh, cool, like that with box modeling and things like that. So it's pretty nice.
That's great.
But there's been a few, like there's Shaper 3, there's Tinkercad, a few of those, but those aren't nearly as robust and powerful as say Nomad or Valence 3D.
Yeah, they're more CAD tools, which are nice, but it's not like the box modeling that you could do in Blender or Cinema. Yeah,
right. And then as far as some of my other animation,
Shaper 3D pisses me off. They try to charge $30 a month, and they want you to pay a year in advance. Okay, sorry.
Oh my gosh, that's rough. So I like those one-time subscriptions. It's obviously there's the ones that don't. I'm glad I was, like I said, into the CaliPig before they, I think, went to yearly subscription. They've just updated. They're really robust and happy. I'm happy with them. People obviously lost their mind with Procreate Dreams. I've been in it a few times and I like it. There's lots I don't like about it too. And
yeah,
you could go on YouTube or go on anything and you can see how much people have like gone back and forth and how many videos there are now about how so much of it doesn't necessarily make intuitive sense compared to other animation software and or even Procreate itself. Like it doesn't do, it doesn't act like the grandfather software it spawned from, right? So what you would expect, it doesn't always happen in the dreams. And so, but it is really powerful and I've loved it. And I actually still use it for certain things. I've started to kind of use it more for quick ideas and quick rough sketches because it's pretty fast. I find it really nice when you get into the editor to move things around and to lengthen some things more than I have say with Rough Animator or some others. I still love Rough Animator. I often, so I'm back and forth, but sometimes when I'm wanting a little more, I like that I can keyframe a little better inside of Dreams because it's got a little more powerful engine. Or say Toon Squid's a little more like up there with the best of the best in my opinion. It's such a arm wrestle match between those two for my highest happy tool animation.
Well, I think
mobile animation
the best,
tool, but
that's the best thing about it is as the consumer we win because all these companies keep pushing each other. And I think Procreate Dreams, to your point, like there was so much hype about it because Procreate had such a good following and they gave people a little taste of animation. And so I think people were just had these super high expectations of this is going to be Procreate, but with added animation tools that make a lot of sense and it's going to be as intuitive for animation as Procreate is for painting or whatever. And in reality, it helped to maybe introduce people to some of these other tools, Toon Squid and CaliPeg and Rough Animator, because they're like, oh, maybe, you know, because there's comparisons online, like Dreams versus Toon Squid. So I think it's good for the whole industry and hopefully they're all able to make money and keep moving forward. But
I need to try more of like certain rotational kind of bone, almost bone work that you can do inside of Dreams. Because there's some ways you can kind of rig things up and it's nice. it's not as powerful as, say, some of these other softwares like Moho. I love, obviously, the Bowman system in Moho and things like that. Speaking of getting better at that, too, it's one that I want to do more and more. There was some great artistic work that, if you go to their webinars, so if you go to the Moho software and Moho animation on YouTube and look under their webinars, there was a great one they did of like a T-Rex illustration that someone else made that they credited, but that they're able to show you the how great the new vector brushes are and how these vector brushes can boil and can stay textured in ways that are so painterly and artistic, and yet so you're getting something that looks completely colorful, either done by watercolor or crayons, and yet animates so fun and smooth and can change and distort and just be smooth and beautiful and even boiled lines and things like that. It's just, I love, can't say how much I love Moho. It's been a great software to purchase and to upgrade and to continue with on the front of 2D animation. So.
Agreed. Yeah, that's one that I would like to use more for sure. And it's, I wonder if, I would imagine Harmony does this, like Toon Boom Harmony, where they have these bones that, like, are they call them Vitruvian bones or something, where they can change their function a little bit, or if the character is turned around, the bone and the leg can then be behind the character, whereas, you know, using older tools, that just wasn't possible, and you had to do some weird fake to, and transition to a different rig to make it work or something.
Yeah. Harmony is definitely one I would love. It's too expensive for my wheelhouse. I'm not going to specialize in that to the point where I would love to. Like, trust me, I would love to. Maybe when I'm older, but I can't keep up the price tag on that, I think, at this moment. But Harmony is far more robust. However, Moho, I think, I'm always impressed because you've got these studios like Cartoon Saloon and these professional studios that just actually use it in ways that compete against Toon Boom Harmony and almost shine better in ways. And that again goes to the fact that good artists can do really good things with whatever tool, right? But Harmony is definitely one that I'm always jealous of because it has nodes and it has it's just amazing what you can do with that software.
Well, my daughter has a love-hate relationship with it right now. She's at UVU and has a Harmony rigging course where it's just about rigging, and she's struggled. She got like a couple 4.0s, you know, earlier in her journey, but in this class, that's the one where she just is beating her head against the wall trying to deal with the nodes and rigging and get it to do what it needs to do. I'm sure it's one of those things where if she keeps with it, it's going to click and it's all going to come together. That's the painful thing of these advanced, 3D or 2D tools out there, is once you have that rig, it can do amazing things. But if you're actually having to build it or other specialties, nodes with materials or whatever, it's the whole profession in and of itself.
Yeah. Just the riggers versus the animators. And I believe it. So anyways, so many good tools.
Well, I've got a new physical tool here. Seen this?
Explain what that is.
This is the Huion. I used to pronounce it Huion, but I think it's Huion. Tablet here that has half of a keyboard, and then it's not an LCD screen or whatever. It's just a normal tablet. But I use this with my laptop, and it sits over top of the keyboard, and doesn't press the keys underneath. And then I've got, you know, because it's basically the whole left-hand side of the keyboard, so 99% of your keyboard shortcuts can be handled with this. And so you don't have to worry about a separate keyboard. So
I love that.
I'm happy with that. Yeah.
So can I ask what the price tag was on that again?
Yeah, it's like $60 or something. So
is it really? That's yeah. Awesome.
I'll add a link in this episode.
Yeah. That's some good tech right there. Yeah. I'm always for good tech, but I'm at the point where I do want to, when I do eventually upgrade some of my equipment, I think I'm going to do some more with the Huan and some other products myself, to be honest. So,
yeah, I mean, cause they're as good as Wacom now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, for a while there, they weren't. You know, you had to like charge the pen separately, or maybe the software wasn't as good because you had one set of settings and it applied to all your apps. But they've squashed all those issues, and you can do anything. So.
Yeah. Although some of the new Wacom Cintiq stuff with the almost like the handle bits that they have, it just.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. They're like the Cadillac of everything, but yet, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
So other programs, other things that I've been learning, and you probably might have some more as well, but it's more of existing applications that I've used forever that I'm just kind of discovering new tools within them or uses. So like Illustrator, for example, you know, the Shape Builder tool, I know it's been in there for a long time, but I just discovered it like a year ago, and using that as opposed to like Pathfinder to subtract or add shapes.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you or any of our users haven't played with the Shape Builder tool, big fan. That's saving me a lot of time.
Absolutely.
And then you know, blends, doing some complex blends. I had a project this past week where a client had a stage that they were building for an event, and the 3D rendering showed kind of this relief wall that was actually, you know, made in 3D, you know, how you can buy those tiles to put on a wall and it gives it kind of a wave pattern, but it's actually 3D and it casts shadows and everything, you know, you can light it. But for one reason or the other, I didn't hear why, they wanted a 2D image, you know, that they could just basically print out and then shine lights up at it. But from the audience's perspective, it would look like it was this, you know, heavy duty 3D, like relief type of stuff. And so using like lines, black and white lines in Illustrator and doing some complex blends, I was able to get some really clean shadows and reproduce this 3D relief and build it in Illustrator so it's vector so that it could be scaled up as big as it needed to be. And
wow,
it was awesome.
Congrats, man. You gotta show pictures of that if you can.
Okay, yeah, well, I'll have to put that up here and maybe do a quick little tutorial of my process there, but
that would be sweet.
The one thing I don't like about Illustrator and Adobe apps in general, I'm finding, is, and maybe I'm dumb and there's a way to get around this, but you know, you want to change your color of something. I mean, sure, you can set up swatches and you know, that's a one click operation or whatever, but if you click on one of the swatches and you want to get in there and change the color or paste in a hex code because you're grabbing colors from something else, you know, you got to double click into there, paste it in, say okay to apply it,
Whereas other apps like Figma, you know, the hex code's just exposed on the main level and you just copy paste it in there, boom, you're done.
Right.
I'm hoping that Illustrator, Photoshop, Adobe Tools will take note there and start to minimize the number of clicks into all these windows.
Right. I like their recolor tool, but I haven't seen to this point yet where they kept like any hexes on the surface. I'll double check, but because I know it's constantly changing in ways I can't keep up with the update.
Sure.
But I haven't to this day seen that the hexes are out there on any appearance panel or anything that you can keep docked and ready to just change on the fly. Have you seen any good Illustrator alternatives?
Illustrator alternatives? Sure.
Yeah, have you found any?
Yeah.
I mean, Figma and stuff, right? But like...
Right, no, but... let's see, where's my iPad? It's called Vectornator, originally.
Oh, no, I love that one, yeah.
Yeah, but then they changed the name recently, and it's called Curve.
That's right. C-U-R-V-E. Yeah, Curve.
And they have it for free on desktop as well. That's super solid tool, and there's some things I like better about it than Illustrator, especially for illustration stuff, either on the iPad or the desktop, just the, you know, some of its tools for drawing, like a pencil tool.
Yeah, I think it was my go-to until they brought the Illustrator for the iPad, and then I was kind of bouncing back and forth, and I started doing Illustrator for the iPad mainly because of the iCloud the Adobe Cloud and being able to just immediately pull down what I've been. However, am I not mistaken, they're starting to stop that. I think they're like...
Are they? I don't know. I haven't heard that. Maybe.
I would be fully gutted, but I was starting to see like that I wasn't going to access... I was getting notifications and things, even though I'm a full subscriber and everything, that I wasn't going to get the full...
Really?
Yeah. Like...
That's weird.
Certain cloud documents were going to go away and stuff, and I'll have again, don't take my word for it.
Yeah.
But... I was starting to see like they were discontinuing.
You heard it here, folks. Adobe.
Yeah, exactly.
Sabotaging themselves, according to Trevor. Their best feature in the past 10 years they're getting rid of. in place of AI, they want you to just have to use text to image for everything. You can't keep your own images anymore. Yeah.
I was starting to I was getting frustrated with some of the After Effects crashes I was having. I was finding that as I would import Illustrator files, it would crash. However, it was PSDs, one or the other. All I had to do though, no, it was PSDs I was having problems with, but if I imported an Illustrator file, then I could import a PSD for one or two versions. I think I fully fixed the bug, for at least for me. I have seen other people pop up in certain chats and forums saying like, their frustration towards certain bugs and issues, and I was getting to the point where it was just taking up so much of my memory, even though I was like tapering it down in some simple processes. And I don't know if it's because of maybe it's the number of plugins I have, or maybe it's the number of whether I'm being too active with something that's CPU heavy or GPU heavy or something. I don't know, but some of the stuff I was doing should have been really simple, and yet it was crashing.
As long as we're, so I was saying, jumping on Adobe and being frustrated with them. Now, don't get me wrong, I love Adobe. I love their apps, Creative Cloud.
Yeah,
you know, it's the backbone of my ability to make money for sure. But you know, I got the opportunity this past year to sit in on their kickoff for, you know, the year, because I was doing a project for them. And so I heard, you know, proprietary stuff that I got to be careful. I didn't sign an NDA, but Yeah. People don't want to get trouble, but it was interesting. You know, I mean, they have a hugely successful business, you know, with ridiculous numbers. Like, you know, what are they? I think they should be over 20 billion in revenue this year. So it's just ridiculous. But I remember, you know, one group got up and they were touting how many people have engaged with like the new AI tools, like specifically the generative image tool, you know, like what percentage of people did they get to try it at least or whatever, you know? And I was just kind of thinking to myself, like, you know, they had built, basically you open up Photoshop when it's a new install or whatever, and the app just hounds you. They like do not let you proceed until you try their new generative AI tool. So it's like, right, they're patting themselves on the back for getting, you know, 90% of people or whatever to try this new feature better than ever before. But I think they're discounting the frustration that maybe it is going to cause if they keep doing tactics like that, where us professional users jump into an app, we're getting ready, we want to just use it, we've got this new computer, we've installed it, but they treat us like a noob, a brand new user, and they're trying to get us to look at all their stuff, or they have all these rich animated tooltips that bug you every 2 minutes to try this feature, and it's like, I know that, I tried it before, just get out of my face.
Yeah, I noticed that with not just that, but so many different other, in some ways it's good because they were distractions. Sometimes I'd stop, take a break, play a game on my phone, but then the game itself like tries to jump you into like a forced clickable, like go to the game center or something, whatever. And it's like, no. Yeah. And so you just swipe and kill it. But it is annoying to the point that I've like frustratingly quit and force quit a bunch of things, getting more productive because of it. But if that was also happening, say with some of these creative apps, I completely 100% agree. Being forced to not having any way to skip it, but being forced to go down some mapped rabbit hole, like forget it. I would say like there's almost distrust there versus anything. I'd just be like, okay, I'll find a different alternative. Yeah.
So. Yeah. So it is definitely Adobe, you know, I hope they, I mean, a lot of people have had problems with it. You know, they take over these different apps and kind of kill them over the years. You know, they acquire a different company or whatever. And, you know, Figma at that same event, it was announced that Figma was no longer, you know, that merger was not happening with Adobe because of regulators or whatever. And that's probably good. Keep them honest or whatever. But.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else? Have you had an opportunity to work in Blender much recently, or has the projects been more in other areas?
It's all over the place, like I said, but I'm popping in Blender far more all the time. It's been the most this year for sure. And I've fully immersed myself into it, right? And I've been taking courses that I keep up with and learning new things, learning new ways to use it. And I have got to say that I love Blender. I love what you can do with it. I love what people have done with it. Southern Shoddy just finished his 5-year project, which is the Watermelon Gorilla, which is a fun project, and to see his post-production on that and his thoughts and his take on burnout and other things during those 5 years of making it and how he achieved what he achieved, I was very impressed. And to kind of hear the Q&A afterwards about how he was able to kind of keep up with it and keep a consistent style despite the fact that Blender's constantly updating all the time and changing. He kept a good source, but it really is so great. And I know that there's lots of haters out there, but there's also, I do kick myself that I didn't jump on it sooner and that I'm only jumping on it now versus, you know, I would be like, I basically jumped on it about the same time Southern Shoddy did. And I didn't get to necessarily pour my full attention to it like he did. But it's nice to know, like, you know, I can get to a level if I do put some more focus, and why not start building those blocks now so that down the road someday, maybe in 5 years, I start my journey towards a fully animated short that I want to like leave as an impact or a piece of me that people can view, you know, because that's something I'm certainly starting to think like this is now the decade I want to make. I want to make some things that are for me. And I don't care, I'll put it out there in the world, and I don't care whether they like it or not. I don't care if it goes viral. I don't care about any of that. It's just put a piece of me out there, but build it with full intention and full heart. And Blender is one of those tools that can do it to the point that it can do like any style. That's what I love. It can do any style, and it does so well with everything. I love it.
Well, and I think that's a testament to the fact that you are a true creator, that you would say something like that, that you have something inside of you that you need to share. It's not even that you want to, you just need to do it. It's like you literally, if someone were to tell you that, you know, hey, you can be independently wealthy, but you're not allowed to create anymore, you know, I don't think you'd be able to do it and live. I mean, that's how I feel is, sure, we're doing this. We're blessed to do this as our, job and our means to provide for our family and everything. But in the end, it's also something that we need to do. Hence this whole mantra of create or die.
Absolutely.
And so on that note, thank you, Trevor, for taking all this time today to be here and record double two-part episode that will be awesome.
Thank you, Ike. We do. Let's definitely take and make this better. Let's push on our goals, rebalance, and create or die. Yeah.
Man, love it. Talk about tools and new techniques, ways to use existing tools all day long. And it's exciting. Gets me going, you know? But in closing, wrap this up. It's not about the tool. It's about the artist, the creator behind the tool. So the sooner, you know, you wrap your mind around that, the better. I've done a previous episode where, you know, I really dug deep into this whole idea of if you get too caught up in the tools, then you're gonna lose something. You know, the magic happens in the exploration, the breaking of the tools, the planning through sketch form. You know, get away from the computer. Go get yourself some experiences out there. Don't necessarily look at just design-related stuff, inspiration, right? Be it motion design, graphic design, whatever. Those are great, but if you're relying solely on that, you're not gonna be able to really invent something new. It's gonna be a regurgitation of what you're taking in from that world, and it's going to feel like what's out there, what's existing. And it's an easy trap to fall into. You know, I do it all the time. There's a time and place. You got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. You know, sometimes things are the way they are, and it's just got to get done.
and you know that it's not a piece that's going to win any awards or, you know, amaze your peers, but it's valuable to the customer, the client. And in the end, as a commercial artist, creator, that's pretty important. That's up there for sure. So, you know, and that can be done in a myriad of different ways. You know, you might have to lean heavily on that stock illustration or leverage a motion template from Motion Array, you know, where really 90% of it is already there, and you're plugging in the content, maybe adding a little bit of polish on the top, but you're shipping it because it's got to get did, right? And a lot of times this happens when we're out of time, we're out of budget, you know, or the client is real prescriptive on, hey, I've seen something like this, I want this, you know, I want to look like Apple, which is extremely hard to do if you don't have beautiful products, you know, or a real clear idea for like what kind of visuals you can produce. Because in the end, you look at the Apple website, you take the product photography out of there, and you're just left with, you know, a white or black page with some text basically in the Apple logo in the corner. You know, the product visualizations in all their different forms, that's what really stands out. Now, for those of you who stuck around to this point in episode 75, just want to give you a little update. We got the crater.studio website. That's crater, C-R-8-R, dot studio. It's about to go live, okay? I didn't want to shout it out from the hilltops because right now you go there, it's just the quick animation reel, you know. But I've got some cool stuff going on. I got my main man, Wawa, who does the music for this program. He's hooking me up with the development, because I did the design, of the crater.studio website. And he's getting super close, and I'm getting super excited. So stay tuned. Check it out. We'll let y'all know when it goes live for realsies. So until next time, my friends, just keep on creating. Create or die.